Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Real As Yates podcast. We are your hosts, Taylor Yates
and Paige Yates.
In this podcast, we share with you everything we know about real estate, Greater Boston, and life. And in case you're wondering, yes, we are in fact related. We are a top producing mother-son real estate agent team where we lead, surprise, the Yates team.
So Taylor, what's been going on in your life?
it's Pinewood Derby season. Yeah, it's a Cub Scout thing. You take a little block of Pinewood, you carve out a car. And we have a lot of fun with this because nowadays there's so much free content about how to do this. Like, you don't need to go buy a book. You could just get on YouTube. And there are guys that put together like multi-hour videos about how to get the most speed out of your car. That's a little bit intense for me and my son, but there's easier stuff like Mark Rober. Have you heard of this guy? He got famous during the pandemic because he made this like squirrel maze.
I've never heard of him. And okay. I can only tell you that my thinking of the Pinewood Derby process and what it was like for you in Cub Scouts many years ago, all I can think of was everybody was crying.
Oh, yeah.
So Everybody was so upset they didn't win.
Oh, ours is not like that. I don't know what was going on in that troop, but what I tell my son is like, look, there's four cars on the track and only one person can win, and all we can do is our best. So you can also choose. Do you just want to make the coolest looking car, which is what he chose last year? He didn't care about speed last year, or do you want to make the fastest car you can? And so getting back to like my Mark Rober example, we watched this like 15-minute video where he's like, here's like the five things that make the biggest difference on it that is reasonably easy to do. And, you know, we did that. We made a much faster car. So for me, that's what I like about it is the exercise, like taking your kid through like, you've got a project. Let's think through like, what are we trying to achieve? And like, what information can we find about how to get there? And then we'll do it. And, you know, it's actually important to me that I don't build this car. this is not my project. This is his project. And it's really fun for both of us. And we don't really care about who wins because we know it's like pretty low stakes.
Well, all I can tell you again is this is when adults are able to relive their childhood, knowing all that they know.
Yeah.
And approach it in a much more sophisticated way.
Yeah. Or, you know, I remember my Pinewood Derby days when
my dad
got the idea that you should put BBs in the tires, which, you know, if you think about the physics for a second, that actually makes the car stop in the middle of the track. So my car didn't even finish. So that's another reason why I'm like, I'm not building this, bud, because if this goes haywire, that's on you.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's nice to have a parent-child interactive event, though.
Right.
Through the Cub Scouts, because it is something that many fathers and sons will talk about, or family members, you know, will talk about the Pinewood Derby. And here we are talking about it 30 years later.
I know.
You had the same experience.
Right.
And you can remember what your experience was like.
Yes, I do. Yeah, of course I remember that. You don't forget something like that. But
Good experience.
So this month, we're talking about curb appeal in New England Spring. And this week, we're going to talk about seasonal decor for New England Spring. So Paige, for those looking to create an inviting outdoor living space, what are some key elements to consider when selecting like patio and porch decor to ensure that's, you know, it's going to survive, it's going to be durable enough to deal with our weather, but also look stylish throughout the spring season?
It's a great question. And I think that we've kind of talked about in New England how you have kind of basic greenery and then you add in flowers according to their seasonal availability. But one of the things that we haven't really highlighted is adding to your outside kind of lawn area, I'm going to say your outside living areas, is lighting. And one of the most important things you can do to set kind of a soft, inviting landscape is to do some uplighting on trees that are particularly cool. You can create areas that we noted before that you might find a place to put a bench or a seat that might make it look like your yard has a couple areas that you can go in. You know, you're always looking for a patio deck, something that you sit out, barbecue on. You're always looking for a yard to do some sort of running around. It doesn't have to be big. It can be the ball, you know, you can just be able to kick a ball or throw a lacrosse stick. You're also looking for areas that you can sit and enjoy, or whether it's you put in a fire pit or even create a round area where you can sit and you've got a fountain or an interesting piece of sculpture. Water is always a great healer and makes you feel good because the sounds and the motion. So I think there are a lot of things that you can add to your outside in New England that we talked about, potentially a porch swing, which kind of invites you back to that area. And I think that we think of curb appeal and outdoors as the yard, but I think we have to look at it as many more areas that can be utilized to create a vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want to dial into the lighting thing a little bit because it is an overlooked element of curb appeal. And it's one of those things that is actually weather independent, right? Those
Correct.
Lighting fixtures, they work. You know, I mean, I'm sure you could find something cheap enough that only works in good weather, but they're designed to work no matter what the weather is. And so if it makes your tree look good in the summer, it'll make your tree look good in the winter and in between. So I like what you said about the uplighting. I think that's a really important one. And you actually see that a lot just in general now. Like if you go over at the Zakim Bridge at night in Boston, they do uplighting there. So it's just that principle of casting light upwards, I think, has been really baked into style now.
I think it enriches a space. Mm-hmm. It's low cost mm-hmm. with big reward.
Right.
And that's what I think every homeowner wants mm-hmm. when they're thinking about, what should I do to my house? What should I do to my yard? How can I make it look richer and more inviting? And I think light is a great, even to the point of having great sconces on either side of your front door, you know? If you get really little teeny ones and you've got this big door, it doesn't look proportional. So you really need to buy lighting that both enhances the space, but is proportional to what you're trying to, how you're trying to enjoy the space.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can do a couple of different types of lighting fixtures too, right? You can do the uplighting. There's also the path lighting that can really add some, you know, it can help define spaces a lot. And even just the deck and patio lighting. I love, you know, I'm just like a sucker for those Edison bulbs, right?
Right.
When people string those over a deck or a patio, it just makes the space look warm and inviting. You kind of picture like people gathering there. And that matters when you're selling your house, right? If you put that stuff up, that's what buyers think too. They're like, oh, this is a place where they already do gathering. And, you know, if I want to have some community in my life, I can leverage the space too.
I think it defines the space. I mean, even though you see a patio or a deck, it's kind of outdoor space and mm-hmm. people don't know how they're going to use it.
Yeah.
But if someone's got lighting around it, or for instance, like an environment like a Nantucket where you've got dense fog at night,
yeah,
you put those lights up around your patio and all of a sudden people are like, this is really cool. It's like, it's no longer a patio, it's a party space.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what people like to see mm-hmm. in a house is how someone uses their spaces.
Correct.
Because they then put themselves in that space.
Yeah.
I have to giggle when I look at your videos of your children on your back deck, which has got, you know, nice furniture, a big, big table for eating and your gas grill.
Mm-hmm.
And then I see a video of your youngest riding Mr. Wiggly around yeah. the table, around the couches,
yeah.
and it becomes an outdoor play space.
Yeah,
right?
But Mr. Wiggly, that's like a bike, and the physics of it are incredible. But
it's a great toy. But my point being is, no matter what age you are, you know, you see how you're going to use it, whether or not it's a play area, whether or not it's a family eating area, whether mm-hmm. or not it's a party area,
mm-hmm.
could be even a Super Bowl Sunday kind of space, you know? So
right.
there are lots of different ways you can define spaces that enhance and encourage people to want to be there.
Right, I agree. So you mentioned that you know, my deck has a few different pieces of furniture. And I think that's another important piece of outdoor decor is, especially when you're staging your home, is showing the different things that you can do with your outdoor spaces, right? Because you could, especially if you got a patio, what you could do is just put out like a bunch seating, right? Just like big cushy couches. And that's fine. And that can look great. But if you can also throw in a dining table and you show people like, hey, this is not just a hangout area. This is where you're going to have dinner in the summer. That even in the spring when things are muddy and gross, people see that and they get it.
What's nice, that's what's so great about having a patio and a deck for seasonal living is you can be out there even when the ground around you isn't conducive to having a picnic or sitting out in the yard.
Yeah. Absolutely. And not for nothing, you know, sometimes you do get lucky with those warm winter days and you're like, hey, maybe we will go sit outside.
Right. It's true. And there's always that mud season, which prevents you from being outside too much. So,
yeah, or at least being in the grass, right? So,
yeah.
Well, cool. So we're going to take a quick break and then when we come back, we'll have our joke of the week and a question from the audience.
Did you know that Taylor and I aren't just your favorite real estate podcast hosts? We're also pretty darn good at our day jobs. With over 30 years experience and $1 billion sold in Greater Boston, we're real estate agents you can trust. If you're buying or selling a home, reach out to us at contact@yatesboston.com today.
All right, Mom. Why do real estate agents make great singers?
Oh, boy. Like, this is not fun. I need more. They're great soloists?
Yeah, actually, that's a good answer. Like they're good at working solo. The answer is actually because they always have the right key.
It's perfect. Very good.
Okay, so we have a question from the audience, and again, it's about lighting, and they want to add some outdoor lighting to highlight their landscaping and walkways. Do you have any tips for choosing lighting that's both beautiful and energy efficient? So, I mean, I can start on this.
Okay.
LEDs, right? Like there's just, I think in 2024, there's no reason to get a different kind of light. They are cheap. They are durable. They can be any color you want them to be. And so I think whatever you're going to do, consider LEDs. Oh, and they're energy efficient. So.
The other question too is, when I was thinking about this, there is what I consider to be portable lighting,
mm-hmm.
lighting that you can kind of purchase inexpensively and put stick into the ground. And then there's proper kind of electrician type wiring. I think depending on what you're trying to do, that you need to pull in a professional if you're looking for kind of a long-term up lighting decor. Or
yeah.
I find I myself have done the LEDs that stick in the ground and mm-hmm. I find that with our weather, with animals, it's something that doesn't last like I want it to. Mm. So, you know, a lot of times garden centers can also help you
right.
with suggestions. I might consider.
But when you put those in, you're talking about, because you kind of get the, you're getting like, you're not getting professionally installed LEDs, right?
No,
so that's where I'm like.
I'm just buying them offline. And sometimes I've been a little bit disappointed because of the winter, the elements, the natural elements or the animals, they break pretty easily. So,
right. And I think also though, like that's another great point, like buy from a local garden center because they're going to have the thing that they have vetted for your area. Whereas like Amazon's fine. I use Amazon all the time, but they sell stuff everywhere. So when they say, here's like our number one selection for self-install garden lighting, that's the same lighting that gets sold in Arizona, in Florida, in Washington State, and in New England. So it might be totally unsuitable for
the climate.
What you're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I would suggest too.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you for that great question. If you're a curious cat and you would like your question to be considered, you can just send us an email at contact@yatesboston.com or slide into our DMs at @YatesDeanBoston. That's it for this week. Be sure to tune in next week wherever you find your podcasts. If you enjoyed this, be sure to like, subscribe, and give us that 5-star review. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Yates Team Boston or on the web at yatesboston.com.